This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Wet to Wet Kings Meadow, the show that follows the magnificent Chelsea FC women's team. Now, on the last show, I called Emma Hayes a liar for saying that she wasn't thinking about Sunday. And I was right. I also said that I would hand the show over to Dane and Rich if Mezovic started in goal. And I am a liar. Chelsea's progression to the Champions League semi-finals was secured thanks to a 4-1 aggregate win as Wednesday's match versus Ajax ended in a 1-1 draw. And now focus can finally switch to Sunday's Conti Cup final against Arsenal. The title of tonight's show, I went to Mo King's Meadow episode number 129, is, I think I'm going to call it Liars. That's all I can think of right now. There we go. I'm going to write that down as we speak. Now, of course, I am your host and owner of the show still, not giving it up, Dean. I am joined, though, by Dane, who thought he was in for glory for a second there. Dane, good to see you.
I'd like a little bit of humble pie you've chewed. Almost choked on, but yeah, good to see. Nice full screen I can see in front of me, which is nice.
Yeah, I just didn't see it happening, and I was wrong. I held my hands up to that. But, you know, someone's got to write the script and the notes, and 2 minutes before we start on that, that's going to be me, I think. Yeah. Then we are joined as well by Jane, full house for us tonight. Jane, good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be back, although I did forget until I saw your reminder on Twitter, and I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this.
You're lucky I tweeted it.
Yeah, I wasn't one
of joined. We also joined, we've got two guests tonight, two great guests. The first, obviously, who thought he was getting the show, but hasn't, Mr. Rich Bates. Rich, good to see you.
I'd say it's good to see you, Dane. I'm thoroughly annoyed I'm not going to be able to complete my takeover of the show just yet. We'll wait for that eventually with me and Dane at the helm. But yeah, good to be on to discuss the game on Wednesday.
Yeah, obviously, a fit and proper person's test needs to take place first. So we'll do that and then see if we can hand the show over.
Well, I've joked before that Bates took over from Amir's with regards to Chelsea historically. So, you know, quite easily.
Although I don't think this is worth £2, which could be the issue there. Also joined by Mr. Matt Ball. Matt, good to see you, mate.
Yes, good to be on, and good to be on with a full house of people.
Yeah, just got to think of four questions now when I say something. Which isn't always easy. Now, remember, you can listen to the show live on Mixlr whenever we record. That's normally a Tuesday and a Friday around 8 o'clock. That's mixlr.com. And search for Went to Mo King's Meadow on there, and you can join in the show by posting on the chat page as we go, as Buffett already has this evening. Put your comments across as we're talking, and I'll include them in the show as we go. And if you are listening on Apple or Spotify on the Went to Mo King's Meadow platform, please do leave a nice 5-star review so I can put the price up when Rich wants to buy it off me at the end of the season. because I need the money. Now on the show tonight, in part one, we're going to quickly look back at Ajax on Wednesday, and then in part two, we're going to do a bit more of a thorough preview of Arsenal, Conti Cup final, obviously, this Sunday. Before we do that, we've got a couple of events to tell you about. Dane, I'm going to do mine first, so you've got time to get your information up, as I just search on Twitter for my own thing I'm going to talk about. Now, this first event is happening on Sunday, the 26th of May 2024, so it's the day after the Champions League final. It is the original Chelsea ladies team taking on an academy side at Dorking Wanderers. The kickoff is at 3:30. So this is a chance to watch the players who actually started the Chelsea women's team way back when. There's a fan zone, refreshments. You can meet the players, have photos, there's special guests. All the information, you can find it on Tony Farmer's Twitter. That's at Tony Farmer 13. And we will, of course, post it on our platform. And we'll put the link for the tickets when it's available in the description box of all our shows. So make sure to check that out. And Dan, you've got something to tell us about as well.
Yeah, right. We've got two of our close friends, their daughter, Scarlett. We're going to have a charity football match for her. I'll try and explain it as in brief as I can. In September 2010, sorry, 2020, she was 10 at the time. She had a rare cavernoma that ruptured in her spine while she was sleeping. And as a result, she woke up without the use of her legs. Since then, she has been working really hard on her rehabilitation. But as you can imagine, the costs involved in this are extremely high. We're friends of the family. You know, obviously my godson's in EastEnders. We've arranged a charity football match at Sutton United on the 4th of May. Kickoff is 3 p.m. We're going to have a Scarlet 11 versus a Celebrity 11. Jaden, the one who's in EastEnders, Jaden's mum, stepmum, is an events organiser. So she's really, really organising it really quickly. It's going to be like a big day out. There's going to be music into the evening from, I think, from Bar Bougie, which they do like a Sunday night events like all over London. But My Soul Radio, which is a DAB, DAB station, I think, they're also going to be playing music all night. Who's been announced? Obviously, Jaden's been announced already. The manager today has just, I think someone else has been announced. And she's going to be, I think she's a new character. And anyway, well, what I find out is tickets are £10, under 12s are free. And yeah, come along, you know, see some people try and play football, see some celebrities, take pictures, have some music, have some food, enjoy yourself. Abuse me if you want, you know, I'll be dusting down the boots and trying to make a comeback, albeit for hopefully about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I've not been asked yet for the celebrity team, so just want to make a note of that.
So you can follow Scarlett on Instagram. Her Instagram page is called Scarlett's Journey 2020. And Kitty Castledean, who is in EastEnders, she plays, she's just come in, hasn't she, as Lauren's cousin. Is it Lauren's cousin? One Jack's daughter? She's going to be their manager. Like, they're slowly like announcing celebrities over the next, you know, 5 to 6 weeks. And I've heard some of them, and yeah, some of them are actually really, you know, are proper celebrities.
Yeah, I'll wait for my invite for the celebrity team. But £10 to watch Dane play football, you know, that's comedy at cheap value, if you ask me. The link for all that will be, of course, in the description box and across our social media platforms as well. So if you miss any of that, just look on Twitter or in the description box. You'll find the information there. When we come back, we're going to get into this Ajax review so we can get looking at the Conti Cup final, which is what we're really here for tonight. And we'll do that after this. Chelsea lining up for Ajax in, I think, a 4-2-3-1, which we'll talk about. Tatira Musovic in goal. Back four of Iperese, Jess Carter, Kadisha Buchanan, Ashley Lawrence. Aggie Beaver Jones, be England Cup at first in midfield. Then Aggie Beaver Jones, Guru Wrighton, Frank Kirby, and Mayra Ramirez up front. Emma Hayes making four subs. Jen Chankovic, Sirkin Luskin, and Kat Macario on for Brighton, Buchanan, and Ramirez in the 65th minute. And then in the 76th minute, Johanna Rich and Cameron on for Beaver Jones. That left Anne Catherine Berger, Hannah Hampton, Melly Leupolds, Lauren James, and Neve Charles as the unused subs. And Rich, sort of the lineup, I suppose between all of us, we got it right. Some changes and some players in there.
Yeah, I think broadly speaking, yeah, we knew it would be. We knew Emma was lying. We knew she would have one eye on Sunday. It's the, you know, last time for Chelsea versus Arsenal. It's just that, you know, she can't let the players know that they've got to take that they could take the eye off the Ajax game, because there was still a job to be done, and it was done. But yeah, it was good to see Aggie get a start in Europe. I thought she'd played pretty well for the period she was on the pitch. It was good to see some minutes for, you know, the likes of Sophie Ingle, who haven't possibly been involved as much recently as others. And also Fran starting, you know, always good to see. Yeah, I think, yeah, broadly, we all got it collectively right if we, you know, managed to mean average out all of our predictions beforehand.
Yeah, I do say if we mention all the players, then technically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
It always works.
Jane, as Rich said, there was a job to do, but, you know, being 3-0 up from the first leg, I never felt that there was any danger of Ajax coming back into this in a meaningful way. Was that a feeling shared at the ground in the evening?
I know I sort of went into the game thinking it's going to be sort of an easy game, a game that's not going to be very exciting, which odd bits were, but I feel like when you are sort of 3-0 up already, you're sort of comfortably through. Obviously, you can't speak too soon because you never know what could have happened. But it was sort of an easy win out of it.
Yeah, Matt, obviously, I think you was there as well in the front row, wasn't you, but in the shed end from your picture. What was the mood like at the Bridge? Because I know it was the Arsenal game was a party atmosphere. Was it similar to that, or was it a bit more subdued?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, I suppose you'd say, slightly subdued, just the fact that there was less people there than Arsenal. But I think before the game, they had a DJ out and he was doing quite well. And at least in the shed end, it was there was non-stop singing in the shed end, which was nice to hear. Obviously, doesn't translate to the whole of the stadium, but you can't do that in the men's, let alone the women's. But yeah, in row one, which was just trying not to get hit by the ball, which was nice. In the first half, I decided to use my advantage of being in row one by started shouting in Dutch to the goalkeeper, because my girlfriend, she's from Belgium, so I know a bit. So I thought, let's just try and distract the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper was looking around because she was like, I'm surprised that the English person speaking Dutch. But so it kind of worked because Mayra Ramirez went on to score. So I'll say that I was in her head.
I'll give you an assist for that. Yeah, assist for Matt for the first goal. And then I suppose the big call was, I think, Muzovic in goal. You know, not that we don't trust her or don't rate her, but given there was still a job to do and Hampton's been the first choice, and she doesn't do much running around, let's be honest. She could easily play Wednesday, Sunday. That's why I didn't see Muzovic starting. But yourself and Rich did go for her. And it was a mixed bag, wasn't it?
Yeah, obviously on that decision that you got wrong, because you thought obviously Hampton was going to start. I see you obviously predicted that wrong, and me and Rich was correct because we said Muzovic would start. So if we're thinking about how much you got it wrong... But yeah, for basic performance, it is hard for a goalkeeper to come in, isn't it? You know, we've seen over the years that Emma likes to keep the goalies on their toes, fresh and fit. This is the first time in a while we've seen her like really stick with a number one for a while, and like put proper trust in. And I just had a feeling that yeah, Muzovic would have started. I wouldn't usually like to change goalkeepers, especially with Hannah. You know, her rise has been phenomenal. So impressed with her. And I think it's only good with goalies to keep them ticking over, especially the number ones. So I, It was more of, I just thought she would do it rather than I actually agreed with it. Yeah, it was a bit of a mixed bag. She pulled off some really good saves. The goal conceded was a, was quite close to her, very close to her, and it's hard for them to sort of like get down so quick when it's almost as low it is by the ankle. She obviously she tried, but yeah, it was, I think it was just too low for her, and it was just one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, Richard, obviously the first thing, that clearance that she kicks straight into the Ajax striker that just rolls wide.
Yeah, but I didn't think Cuthbert helped with that. I didn't think that was a great...
I was going to say Cuthbert was more a fault. I'd argue because the pass was not good enough to miss Savic in the first place.
Yeah, true. But, you know, people online obviously don't like to admit that because they seem to have some sort of agenda against Muzovic anyway. Yeah, but Rich, you know, it doesn't breed confidence, does it, when that sort of thing happens?
No. And watching it from the other end of the stadium, it felt like that ball was rolling forever before it eventually... Did it click the post to go wide or did it hit the towel? I don't know which one it was. But it just felt like an age before it hit the post or basically just went wide. I don't think Musovic's kicking does leave confidence for the rest of the back four. I guess we had that as well with Everton in the cup. That pretty much in the first half, every single ball that she kicked, and there was a, you know, that day there was like wind, sort of crosswind going across the pitch. But every time she hit a ball out to her right hand side, it was sailing over Eve's head. And yeah, I just don't think that the back four have got the same confidence in her distribution as they would if Hannah was there. I don't think it inspires too much confidence. But again, her kicking is better than Anne's, but it's definitely neither close to Hannah's.
Yeah, Jane, I suppose that's the point that Emma made after the game. You know, Hanson's kicking is so good, it raises the bar of expectations for everybody else. But on the other hand, you know, she does make two saves at the end of the game, which keep us, you know, with a one-all scoreline.
Yeah, I feel like she sort of redeemed herself in a sort of way. I know she only conceded one goal and it wasn't really game-changing. But I feel like goalkeepers, they do... You sort of have a good day, you have a bad day, all in one game. She played well and she'd sort of done the stop she needed to stop. It was just unfortunate for that one goal to be conceded.
Yeah, we'll come on to the goal in a little bit. But before that, Matt, you know, just your thoughts. I don't know if you see much on the stuff online on social media. But for me, you know, we should be supporting our players and, you know, criticise when they make mistakes, which we do on the show. And when we talk about Ajax's goal, I think we'll criticise Muzovic for her role in that. You know, I think some people lacked a bit of respect for one of our own players, which is a bit disappointing to see.
Yeah, it's. I don't really understand it because we've got such a blessed team, at the group of players that we've got. I mean, if you just look at the men's team, I mean, we've probably got one, maybe two players that you could look at and go, yeah, they're good. The rest just are not performing. Yeah, we seem to just. I don't like it when it is on one particular player. And I don't think Musovic has done anything to deserve a widespread criticism as it was. I mean, I didn't see anything at the time, but even days after, I was seeing people just constantly putting more stuff out and overanalyzing, especially the kick. And it's just the aspect of, one, if a defender or midfielder is not going to give you a good pass, there's not so the position it was put into for her is not much you can do. What you're expecting her to do, Cruyff turn it and nutmeg the next player. She's a goalkeeper. She's only got so much she can do with her feet. And it is just most of the time you would just clear it past the player, but it just is unlucky enough that it hits the player and nearly bobbles in. But I think I think you put a tweet out saying if some of the saves that she made after she conceded the goal, if that was Berger, people would be hailing it as the best goalkeeper in the world, but because it's Musovic, it's not really held to that sort of standard. I just don't really understand it, and if this carries on, she'll just leave and go to another club, and I think we will miss her. I know we've got lots of goalkeepers at the moment, but I think she is at the moment. I think she's the second best goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, then the calls for AKB, and look, you know, we're big fans of AKB, you know, being a fantastic servant for the club, a great goalkeeper. Herself has made some big mistakes in the past that have led to big goals against us. I mean, this goal conceded against Ajax on the whole means absolutely nothing because we was already 3-0 up. It hasn't affected the outcome of the overall result. You know, but it's sort of one of those things where because AKB hasn't played for so long, sort of her absence is making her better than perhaps we remember that she is.
Yeah, and arguably she was that she'd made quite a few mistakes before hand, and that's why I guess she's not. I mean, it's you can see with the amount of goalkeepers we brought in that AKB was going to be phased out at some point. But I don't think AKB has really helped herself. She makes a few mistakes. I mean, especially with kicking. I'd argue Musovic is the better kicker out of the pair of them. But I think it is what it is. People have got short memories.
Yeah, I mean, Dane, the other thing as well, you know, people online calling for Berger to be the number two. You know, there's someone that picks the team. My name's Emma Hayes. I don't know if you've heard of her. Widely regarded as one of the greatest managers in the women's game of all time. She's picking Musovic as the number two. Maybe we should just think, you know, she knows what she's doing more than we do.
Or what the German just said, rumours are to be believed. Yeah, it's hard, you know. Sometimes, you know, there's a famous quote, I can't remember it, about players being out, you know, as you rightly said, you know, you think that they're a lot better than they are when they're out for so long. To be fair, yeah, either wouldn't bother me who was number two. You know, I don't think Musovic had a bad game. You know, I thought the goal was, you could see aspects of why people could have criticised her, but I just thought it was just too close to her and too low in that moment. She pulled off some really good saves, I thought. And yeah, you know, people have got nothing better to do. I don't know if it's where the women's game is getting, you know, a lot more new fans into the circle, and maybe a lot more fans coming over from the men's game, and they're just so used to criticising people, so players, that they think they can just come and do it here from something I didn't really think it was really much deserved. I think Anne Katchenberger has been a great servant for us, won lots of titles with us, brilliant, brilliant shot stopper as well, kicking. But she saved us so many times, she deserves utmost respect. But as Matt said, I think, you know, slowly been phased out. Well, not slowly, she has been phased out, let's be honest. She'll probably be off in the summer. And, you know, she deserves a good sending off. She's been a great servant for us. I think Hannah is clearly the number one. Hannah's only going to get better. You think her age as well, great age for a goalkeeper. Musovic has got a fight in her hands to either try and stake that number one back, or maybe she might have to think about going. Plus, we've got the Belgium coming as well, who's not bad either.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's, you know, we support Chelsea, support the players. If you don't like one player, maybe that's your prerogative, you know. But I think people making highlight reels of mistakes or goals conceded is about as useful as a dustpan at you know, an earthquake. So I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'll bring in a quote from Johnny on Mixlr. He says, "I wouldn't criticise any players. It would be fair to be professionally constructive and respectful. I think Musovic hasn't played much with Hannah Hampson. Been playing more recently. There can be some good performances from our keepers. And when they made mistakes, they know how they feel and keep their head up. To continue playing without feeling pressure." And it's a point that Fran Kirby made on her podcast. You know, you don't need to tell her that she's had a bad game or she made a wrong pass or made a bad pass. You know, she already knows. So they don't need supporters on their back as well. And the clues in her name, supporters, you know, support the team, support the players. Because when we do, good things happen. And talking of supporting players, Rich Ramirez with her first Champions League goal. You know, good Chelsea pressure from Jess Carter, then Cuthbert, and Wrighton releasing a great ball to Ramirez to score her first goal. You know, a great Chelsea move.
Yeah, and it, you know, if the ball's loose in midfield, Aaron Cuthbert's going to be there. And it was. And, you know, it's a great little sort of touch, like tackle pass kind of in one move. Gets out to Guerin, you know, Guru's there, she makes the right decision, and yeah, Ramirez just slots it away. It was, you know, good work, sort of pressing Ajax up, sort of further up, leads to kind of that mistake happening. And yeah, it was something that we did quite a lot in the first half with regards to sort of putting pressure on them high up the pitch. I thought Ramirez was very good at leading the line. There was a couple of times where the Ajax goalkeeper, whether it was down to Matt's Dutch or the chance of the keeper from the back of the shed, put her off. But there was a couple of times where her distribution wasn't great either. And I think we created another chance out of that. Yeah, I thought Ramirez was very good. And good to see her, you know, getting, I think, 67 minutes or so, I think it was, before she went off. First start, obviously, since she came back from the injury. So, yeah, really good to see.
Yeah, Jane, I suppose it would have, you know, if there was any sort of sense of we've still got a game to win here or a tie at stake, you know, that probably would have put them to bed. You know, that goal easing Chelsea to a 4-0 lead overall, and then Ajax obviously having to score 5 against us to go through in obviously normal time or extra time. An impossible task for anybody.
Yeah, I think after we got that one goal, I think if I was Ajax, I would have given up. I was like, there's no way we're scoring 5 goals against Chelsea. So yeah, it was an end game by them.
Yeah, we're still impressed though, Matt, with Ajax. Played some good football. More shots on target, more possession, more corners than Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I know the game, you know, was obviously already won for Chelsea. So they could control the tempo a bit easier that way. But still, it just shows the level of the competition, and even looking at, you know, Brand playing against Barcelona, you know, it's growing everywhere across Europe. And in a couple of years' time, I think we're going to have an amazing Champions League tournament.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think there is the talk that we need to have about potentially expanding the competition, because there aren't any teams that are just... I remember a couple of years ago, we had Benfica in our group, and we just completely smashed them, like nothing. And now they're in the quarterfinals competing. Ajax knocking out some of the big teams in the stage. So yeah, I think everyone's getting a lot closer, and I think they play better, but I always felt they could have done more than what they were doing. I think at times we felt quite relaxed and laid back, because obviously we're, as much as the players won't tell you, that they are looking at Sunday a little bit, especially once we scored the first goal and it was 4-0. But sometimes I almost felt they were kind of a bit laid back at times and could have pressed forward a bit more, which kind of made us a little bit more laid back as well. So I think I still could have seen more from Ajax, but it was definitely much better performance than in the first leg, and they did at least try and put a test in at times.
Yeah, one of those players, Dave, that did impress me was Charlie Grant, who scored Ajax's goal. I know we've mentioned Mizovic's role in it, but we should also point out that, you know, Lawrence let her run across her. Buchanan had no idea she was behind her. So it was a bit of a bad moment all round for Chelsea's defence.
Yeah, I thought... Is that to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought... I was quite impressed. I agree with Matt. I thought Ajax did like dwindle on the ball a little bit too much. And instead of actually going for it, playing it round the back a little bit more calmer. But their forwards did give our defenders, you know, a few headaches. Buchanan got rolled a few times. I remember it was, we put it wide. Was it a 15 or was it 7? Put it quite, you know, after rolling Buchanan, put it quite wide. I thought that was a goal. I thought their right back played quite well as well. But overall, yeah, I thought sometimes we didn't know whether to stick or twist. You know, I think we would have preferred maybe Ajax to come onto us more than we could have hit them on the counter attack. You know, we had our chance as well. You mentioned Ramirez scoring, but she, I think, was it just after she scored? I think she could have actually tapped one in, but she almost went with her left, and then it just went across the goal. That would have been a nice way, 2-0. That would have been very comfortable after about 40 minutes. So I think overall it was, you know, we sort of controlled the game in parts. It was only for some reason, probably the second half, quite majority of the second half that Ajax did look a little bit more dangerous. And again, I think we was just left whether not to put too much into it or just to see what they've got, really.
Yeah, I suppose by the time they score, I think the tempo, Richard, had died down a bit from Chelsea, and you know, thoughts do turn to Sunday, as we said. And it showed when, you know, Lawrence was asleep and Grant ran off owing to, you know, great running between the defender and the fullback, what you want your wingers to do. But really, Muzovic should save it. I think she should just use her foot, stick her foot out. And as a goalkeeper, I know naturally you're going to want to try and dive with your hands, but as a professional, I think you should know stopping the ball first is the most important thing.
Yeah, agreed with that. And yeah, I think she realised sort of straight away, because I think she ran up and was basically telling, you know, the defenders, I think effectively, you know, obviously that one was on me, but I don't think it was completely on her. As you said, Grant makes the running behind. And yeah, Lawrence and Buchanan, it is fairly confusing given they play internationally together and for their club. And I don't know, like the chemistry between them, you think it'd probably be better than it is. I don't know if that's harsh, but yeah, I just wonder sometimes. And there were also a lot of the chances Ajax created also came off the back of mistakes that we were making. I know there was a bit, I don't know, I can't remember if it completely led to a chance, but Buchanan tried to do a back heel in her own, in the 18-yard box, which didn't come off. I don't think it led to a good chance, but still, it was one of those thinking, oh, okay. And then later on, I think Jess didn't clear her lines properly, and that led to one of the decent shots that Musovic ended up saving. But yeah, I just thought it wasn't just down to Zachira. I think there was a few issues there. At the same time, they are, you know, mentally, they do know they're 4-0 up in the tie. So, yeah, maybe a little bit of complacency has come into it as well.
Jay, would you say that complacency was matched in the stands? You know, support was thinking we're through, the game's won. You know, sort of, did the singing die down at all? Did the atmosphere sort of seem a bit more subdued by the time Ajax scored?
Where do I sit? Is it the
East Stand?
I get confused because I sit King's Meadow and West Stand, and then I just automatically think I'm West Stand at Stamford Bridge. Like there was atmosphere in the East Stand, but obviously I could hear the group that was down in the shed. I feel like the atmosphere wasn't the best. Obviously, down the other end it was. But no, in the East Stand, it's sort of, you had an odd couple of people singing for a little bit and then it would just die down. And then I think after they scored, it sort of like went back up again. And then after about 10 minutes, I think people just gave up and it was, oh, we've won now. We're through.
Let's go to home and go to bed. So that's what I was thinking. And luckily I was at home. But Matt, you know, it was a great performance, but, you know, you've got Charles, Leopold and James, all haven't played a minute, all three of them. You know, Brighton Buchanan off at 65 minutes, Ramirez getting 65 minutes back on the pitch. You know, we got the job done, I suppose, is all we can say.
Yeah, I think we rested enough players, and I think realistically, bar a disaster, we knew that this game was more or less a formality. And we've got enough players on the pitch to bring in that are good enough to at least bring us through this game. And obviously, it's a bonus that we didn't lose the game. We've at least kept an unbeaten streak going on. Because the last thing you want to do is lose just before the cup final to put any kind of fear into the players. I don't think these players are scared or anything. But yeah, it's good to get the win and roll on Sunday.
Yeah, I think there's a different feeling about the squad, you know. I think they're taking the emotion out of occasions and they're there to do a job and they'll get the job done. Whereas, you know, look at the Champions League run a few years ago when we got to the final, you know, there was tears when we beat Wolfsburg, tears when we beat Bayern Munich, and I think that's disappeared from the team, which probably is a good thing on the whole. But Dane, just quickly before we go to the player of the match and move on to Arsenal, we didn't give Guru Wrighton her love for 150 appearances for Chelsea on the last show because we didn't have time. So I've made a note of it this time. An assist against Ajax. When she's out wide, I think she's incredible. And she's going to be a big player in these huge matches to come.
Yeah, it's a beautiful pass. She's a really good assister on the wing. And it'll be interesting to watch her and Ramirez, you know, strike up an understanding and a connection if there's anything to go by. What we've seen already, I do believe her levels are dropped, but that's more she reached such massive heights, you know, for about 18 months that just blew us all away. She was probably one of the top footballers in the world. Her consistency was absolutely amazing. I think it's taken her a while to get over this injury, but she's still producing moments. She's like I said about Berger, this is a player who's been an amazing servant for us. I still expect more. I think she, you know, she's, it's hard because when you've got so many good players, you know, all you need is people to perform, and then you sort of forget about others. You know, when you're lucky to have so many talented players, you know, you're not all performing well at the same time, and you get ups and downs and lows. But obviously, a accumulation of it all, we're seeing us at the top of the league and in the semi-finals of Champions League and the final of the Cup, semi-final of a cup. So it just goes to show it all blends well together.
Yeah, absolutely. Rich, any words on Brighton? Because we didn't give her a roses, so at least I'll let two of us talk about her.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been saying sort of the last few appearances I've been on here that I think she is getting back, at least with the assists, back to the level that, you know, she was showing sort of last season. The finishing isn't quite there yet. I know she had a chance in the first half. It was actually the Ramirez one, where I mentioned earlier, where she pressed the goalkeeper and it basically ended up at Aggie on the right hand side, and then she sort of beat a couple of people, slid into Guru, and Guru just shot wide. So maybe not the shooting's back yet, but it looks like the assists and the chance creation is there, which is good to see, especially obviously now we're getting right into the business end of the season.
Yeah, well, we love Guru, and obviously she's going to play a huge part in what is going to be a massive April for us. Three cup games and one league match as well. She's going to play a huge part in that. And here's to another 150 appearances in blue for Chelsea. Now, player of the match poll, as usual. Buchanan with 7%. Beaver Jones with 11%. Ramirez with 24%. And Jane, the winner with 58%, was Erin Cuthbert, who was everywhere.
Yeah, I would have given it to Erin. She played phenomenally. She just seemed to be always in the right place at the right time, and she did deserve it. She's really sort of stepped up, taking on the captain's armband.
Yeah, Matt, I was surprised she stayed on for the whole game, given Sunday. But if one player can keep going, it's our Erin, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, Erin just doesn't stop running. She's fantastic, and I think that's probably the one player that I feel when she's not in the side, there is a drop of something in that midfield. So I think she just has to play near enough every game. And it's just these times when we can just be comfortable and take her off. I probably would have taken her off, but I mean, to be fair, West Ham, she didn't start and she did come on. So she has got some sort of rest compared to what she usually does. She will just play the whole match anyway. So in the grand scheme of things, she's had a little bit of rest. So I think she'll be fine.
Yeah, I think definitely in terms of chemistry in that midfield, she has to be there. I think she works well with Sophie and with Leopold as well. I think her and Liskin are a bit too similar, but I think you need her in that midfield to create anything. In terms of the press and the way that Chelsea like to play. That was what was obviously the big thing we haven't spoken about yet. Of course, Dane, is the semi-final. Obviously, we're through, and so unfortunately are Barcelona. And it's going to be a huge, huge couple of games, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. frustrating. The old saying, you got, if you want to win things, you've got to beat the best at some point. It would have been a nice, really nice final. Emma's last game, potentially. And yeah, you know, frustrating thing with is Barcelona, we could all probably say exactly how they're going to play and what they will look like. It's just up to Emma and the coaching staff to come up with a game plan that beats them over two games, which is going to be really tough. But, you know, sometimes instead of worrying about the opposition, you know, let them just have some thoughts about us, because we've got a talented squad, a number of choices, and one name just got off my head, Lauren James, but that Barcelona defence, I'm not going to be one of playing against her. Potentially Ramirez, a fit Ramirez after about two or three games time from now. Katerina, more minutes under her belt. You know, right, and potentially getting back to her levels. Firing Aaron Nuskin, who can pop up and score a goal. So that's just Beaver Jones, that, you know, the young future. It's just so many names that we could reel off and say, okay, well, just, you know, let's just think about us and what damage we can potentially do to them. So I think that's the mindset that I'll be going into those two games against them. But yeah, I wish it was anyone but them, really.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, you know, go back a year ago, we played them in the semi-finals. That first leg, we start with Lauren James on the bench, which, you think about that now, seems a crazy thing to do. But at the time, that was probably Chelsea's, you would say, their strongest defensive lineup against a great Barcelona team, was to do that. Obviously, when she came on in the second leg, she had a great impact. I feel there's just going to be a different Chelsea mentality going into this one, whereas now they know that they've matched Barcelona, they've matched that level. They will think that they will go into this game, you know, that they've got every chance of going through, which I think is different than last year.
Yeah, I think maybe they were going into last year, maybe, you know, wondering about what happened 2 years prior. But, I mean, my thought set into the semi-final last year is, well, the worst had already happened, you know. So you can just go into that semi-final sort of with a fresh mind and, you know, Barcelona did have the better chances in both games, but we did stick, we stuck around. And I think if we do something similar this time, I do like our chances, more so because of the players we've kind of got now. I watched both of their games against Bran, and they will be as aggressive, as aggressive against everyone as they are against Bran. And there is space to run in behind. You know, getting the ball is going to be the difficult bit, but there will be space in behind for someone like Mario Ramirez to run in behind. Like Bran created a couple of chances yesterday, which was basically from that exact sort of scenario. And I think that goal basically comes from that in the first leg as well. I like Chelsea as a football club to be what I call like a live underdog, where we're about, you know, it's about a 60-40, 70-30 type game, and we're the 30 or 40%. I kind of like that, because I feel like historically Chelsea overperform when we play that role. And I'm looking forward to it. And especially now there's no away goals and you've got the second leg at the Bridge on a Friday night. So I'm pretty sure that was confirmed earlier. So I kind of like the fact you've got a night game on the second leg. And if it is close, then you can use, you know, you can use the crowd to really sort of get behind the players and also to get on Barcelona's backs.
Yeah, I mean, Jay, that was what I was going to come to you on. You know, that is the big difference, of course. You know, I remember the first leg last year, Barcelona scored quite early and it really killed the atmosphere, it really killed the crowd. And you could hear the few Barcelona fans that were there more than you could the Chelsea fans. If we stay in that first leg away, you know, come back to the Bridge Friday night, and the atmosphere is going to be absolutely electric.
Yeah, I think we've got a real sort of benefit, the second leg being at home. I didn't get to go to the home game last year due to work, but I feel like putting a game on a lunchtime, obviously I know the away game's a lunchtime time over in Barcelona, but I feel like we definitely have the advantage this time round because the bridge will be hopefully as full as possible, and we will get behind the girls to support them and hopefully bring the win home.
Yeah, nothing better than a night game, Friday night. You know, the flags will be going crazy. Matt, what's your thoughts on it all? You know, it's going to be tough, but I think, you know, we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, kind of third time lucky. But I think this Barcelona team, I don't think they're a fantastic team, but I think they look more vulnerable, in my opinion, than they've been in the last few years. I think we're almost, as Dane kind of said, so unpredictable of who we can play. We could literally play anyone in our front three. Hopefully it makes Barcelona think. And if Barcelona start thinking and this is potentially start altering their own game, then that could play into our hands. But we've just got to just put everything on the line. I think these girls, they always do. And we'll see if we can come out the other side going into the final. Because I think if we can beat Barcelona, then I wouldn't say the Champions League's ours, but that will give us such a supreme confidence going into every other game we've got left. Because Barcelona, they are probably the best team in the world right now.
Yeah, and of course, it will be the final chance to see Emma Hayes lead the side out at Stamford Bridge, which is now Friday the 25th, I believe, of April. Tickets will be on sale to the general public, I think. Is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it's Easter, so maybe not, but you know, make sure you buy a ticket, make sure you come down for what will be an historic night of football. And I sat in the shed end when Iniesta scored. When we had the referee of Rainbow, and I sat in the shed end when we lost 1-0 last time. So I'm in the East Stand for this one, so we basically won already. I don't to tell Barcelona that, I think, that's going to happen. Anyway, we're going to go for a short break now. When we come back, we're going to look ahead quickly to the Conti Cup final, which takes place this Sunday. Paul, a reminder that Kings Meadow Chronicle is available on sale at the moment, actually. We've got issues 4, 8 and 9. Just 10 pence to get them out of my bloody garage, and issue 10 for 50p. It's kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. Let's make sure you stack up on those before issue 11 comes out in April. And we will be right back after this short break.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back then to Wentworth Kings Meadow. Time now to look ahead to the Conti Cup final, which takes place this Sunday, the 31st of March, at Molineux, which is Wolverhampton Wanderers Stadium. Chelsea taking on Arsenal. Dane, there's been no press conference, so we've got no idea on injuries to the likes of Nathalie Bjorn. But I think we do know what Chelsea's team's going to be.
Do we? We've got him.
The one that beat Arsenal 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, I actually can't remember that. I could probably get about nine right. I can see probably the obvious Charles coming in for Lawrence, Hampton coming in for Musovic. I'd say Melanie comes in as well for Sophie. I'd probably have Niskanen in there behind Ramirez, potentially, and probably Joanna playing instead of Beaver Jones. Is that about right?
I think so. When I read it out, I'll know. But yeah.
Yeah. Hampton, Perisay, Charles, Carter, Buchanan, Cuthbert, Melanie, Joanna, Wright and Canary, Niskanen, Wright and Ramirez is from me. And very unpredictable, these games against Arsenal. Still haunted by the game at Selhurst Park. Final where we lost, where we sort of got taken apart, didn't we, in that first half an hour. And never sort of recovered. And games like I like that with Arsenal. It's, you know, it's if you think about, you know, the Sam Kerr final where she's got a sweet chip. We beat them 3-0 and the famous cards from Jonas, which is funny. But then you think about the games they've beaten us at their ground, you know, 4-1. It's so hard to predict. I'm a lot more confident after the way we did play against them a couple of weeks ago. But still not naive enough to be that sure, because they can turn up when they want to. But as I said, after that game, I'm very confident Emma will come up with another game plan to get her last one over on Jonas.
Yeah, sorry. Just as Johnny mentioned on Mixer, that Bjorn's cup tied anyway, so she can't play even if she's not injured. Which, of course, makes the lineup even more easier to predict. I think it was Xavier Ramirez, but it was Lauren James that started up front against Arsenal. Ramirez was out injured at the time. And Rich, I'm expecting Emma and Chelsea to copy that game plan from that win. But, of course, there is a risk that Arsenal would have figured that out.
There is, but they've also lost Leah Valti since that game. I don't know how long she's out for, but it is a while. And they're one of their biggest strengths against us in the games they've had victory over is they've had control of the midfield. And Valti was one of those players that was essential to that with Kim Little. So they've got to do their own sort of figuring out of who they're going to play. Are they going to play Pullovering with Little? Are they going to play Cooney Cross there? You know, what are they going to do with the 10? You know, they've got kind of their own thing to kind of figure out. Whereas I feel like we know what team we're going to pick this time around. I was going to go with the exact same team that played against Arsenal or started against Arsenal and started against Ajax. I think it was the same one. So, there's question marks for them to figure out as well. And, you know, these games have been sort of to and fro. I think I mentioned it sort of before the preview of the Arsenal game that it seems like one figures out sort of what the other did in the previous game and kind of applies it. So, you know, you've also got that to think about. But for some reason, I did think even at the time if we won 3-1 that this game would be tighter. I don't think there's going to be one team that's going to, you know, win, you know, 3 or 4 nil this time. Yeah, I do think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I mean, Jane, the one sort of question, I suppose, is whether you go with Niskanen and James as the pair up front, or you play James and Ramirez, which is a bit more attacking. What would your sort of choice be in the matter?
I honestly don't know. So like whatever we all say, Emma will go different. I'd like to see probably Nuskin start. But I feel like no one else will say it, and then Emma will go with something else. Or just change the whole lineup completely.
Yeah, play Macario. Something like that. Yeah, Matt, for me, I'm thinking Nuskin as well, just because of, you know, how well we limited Kim Littlewood's influence on the game at Stamford Bridge, and I think that's probably the most important thing we can do to Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, I would change it a little in terms of, I think, especially the way Myra played against Ajax, I thought, she was my personal man of the match. I thought, just watching her, she was just fantastic. She's got everything in terms of what you need for a striker. So, I mean, I would probably stick her up front, have Nuskin behind, and then move Lauren on the right. And unfortunately, Joanna just drops out. But obviously, she can come off the bench and change things if we need her. But I think, for me, that's just something that will scare Arsenal in terms of Nuskin can still do that job on Kim Little. Myra is someone that her hold-up is so good that you almost do need two centre-backs to be watching her. And then you've got Lauren just coming in off that right and slipping in behind. I think it's something that I don't think the best of teams can figure out.
Yeah, I would like to see Ramirez against Woban Moy. I think that would be fun. I think she's a terrible football player.
I don't think Leah Williams is really up to, Williamson is up to scratch at all either. So I think she'll have a field day.
I think she'd make sure she passes her over, because she's intelligent like that, and make yourself the spare defender. I mean, Dana, of course, you know, we see the men lose the League Cup final. We say it's Mickey Mouse. You know, we lose the Conti Cup the last 2 years. We say we don't really care for it. But this is the start of Emma's sort of farewell. You know, same with Klopp with Liverpool. You know, it does matter, this, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And obviously, they'll have those memories of the last two finals, especially, as I said, the last one at Selhurst Park. They'll have them firmly in their head. Always a good point that Rich made about obviously us beating them, then Arsenal obviously would have something to work on. And that's when we mention the difference, how their centre-backs couldn't really pick up, you know, the movement of our forward players because there was no set striker. But if there is a Ramirez pushing up on them, you know, then they'll, at least they'll know what sort of game plan that is. So I think that really sort of confused them in that league game. But I also would like Ramirez pushing up on the Arsenal centre-backs. I think they will really not like that. But yeah, this is the farewell tour, as we say. This is the first trophy we can win of this season. And I am confident, and like all the supporters, I presume, and them and the team, you know, I'll be expecting us to win. Hoping, obviously, more. But, you know, she's just put us in such a good position over the years that, you know, you go into these finals and you do, you know, you could be weary of certain players, weary of certain teams, but there is an expectation that because of the talent we are, you know, that we should be winning this.
Yeah, of course. Rich, our fifth Conti Cup final in a row. Obviously, we beat Arsenal 2-1 in 2019, 2020. Beat Bristol City in 2020-21, and obviously lost to Man City 2021-22. And then, of course, Arsenal 2022-23. So, a chance for Emma to leave with, you know, a 3-2 success in the Conti Cup finals that she's played in. Surely we can't lose three in a row, can we?
Well, you'd like to think not. but, you know, and, you know, not extending, because, you know, women's team is much more successful than the men's, but the men's have started up their own unwanted record at Wembley. So I would hope that this doesn't continue into a third straight defeat in the final. I was at the game last year. It was good for the first 2 minutes. And then, you know, it was absolutely rubbish after that. So, you know, I'd like my experience to be much more positive this time.
Yeah, I remember last year, Matt, the way the fixture schedule run, was it closer to the Champions League than it is now? No?
I think last season...
It was the 5th of March, I think.
Yeah, it was earlier last year. Yeah.
So it was almost the other side of the Champions League.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of an excuse why we played so badly, but
I just think it was one of them ones where you have a team that's it's just not your day, and it just from the start, from the second minute to the finish, it just we just wasn't at it at all. And even Emma are like, great, just couldn't change it.
Yeah, I mean, Jen, I just feel there's no way that they're going to go into this match and that same thing's going to happen.
We can't, with it, there's just, you can't lose. We can't lose at all. There's just, we have to win, and that is what we're coming out of the game with. I think hopefully we'll play like we did when we played Arsenal a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully they don't show up or their coach breaks down or something happens and they can't get there and they have to forfeit the game. But we're coming out of that with a win regardless. Not sure how, but we'll get there.
Have we sent them a memo of what socks to bring?
They need a reminder.
Well, hopefully they forget and then they've got to wear Wolves' orange socks. Because that seemed to work in our favour. I'll do the route to the final. Arsenal obviously qualified top of Group D because they don't play in Europe because of shit. That included Tottenham, Southampton, Bristol City and Reading. They played 4-1, 3 and drew one of those games. They then faced the London City Lionesses in the quarterfinal. They beat them 4-0 and they beat Aston Villa 4-0 in the semi-final. Chelsea, of course, play in Europe. So we beat Sunderland 5-0 in the quarterfinal. And then Man City in the semi-final 1-0 thanks to that Lauren James goal. Not much we can take from that, Dane, but a chance for us to win without conceding a goal, which could happen.
Yeah, what I took from that is the few mentions of Arsenal not being in Europe, which was obviously always nice to chuck darts at that dartboard. Yeah, well, that'd be the perfect end to the a very small cup run, wouldn't it? By beating them and keeping a clean sheet like we should have done at the Stamford Bridge game. That's just me being picky because we did have a few deflected goals as well. And so did they, but I just didn't think they deserved anything out of that game. And we deserved all the plaudits, which we rightly got from Chelsea supporters, at least. Yeah, that would be very nice. Thank you very much. A win and a clean sheet.
Yeah, three games and a trophy. Don't really seem like that should be a proper tournament, but it is. We love a bit of Conti Cup at Chelsea. Well, we do after reaching the first final 4 years ago. Before that, we didn't really like it. Line-up time then. This is where you can see if I'm wrong or right. I've gone with Hampton, Perisic, Carter, Buchanan, Charles, Cameron, Cuthbert, Leupolz, Wrighton, and then Nusken and James, Rich, which is a repeat of that team. And I think that is more likely what we're going to see.
Yep.
So I'm on one out of four on the lineup. Matt's going to change it though, so I'm going to come to him last. Jane, you think this is going to just plain and simple? You know, we know how to beat them. This is how we're going to do it.
You said the name so quickly, all I heard was Hampton, but I'm going to agree with your lineup and just hope you said a good lineup.
Well, you can't say a bad lineup when you're talking about a Chelsea team.
Oh, really. No, you can't. But yeah, you said the names too quickly and all I gathered was Hampton.
I'll do it again. Just
go on then.
Hampton.
Yep.
Thursday. Carter. Buchanan. Charles.
Yeah.
Field. Camrid, Cuthbert, Leupolz and Wrighton, and then Nusken and James up front.
Yeah, I do agree with you.
Perfect, 2 of 2. Dane, what, you've obviously written your own one down.
Yeah, but I forgot to, I forgot to include Lauren, I don't know why. And then, as I already said, with Rich making a good point about Arsenal then knowing, studying how we played against them, would it be a bit stupid of us to try and play exactly the same way? So, because give the centre-back something different to play to think about, I'd have Ramirez right up, pushing right up on her centre-backs. So I'd have exactly the same team. But I'd have Ramirez in there for either Joanna or Wrighton. I think on this one, I'd go with Guru for... Yeah, I think Guru just edges it. I've really been impressed with Joanna's dribbling and attacking the space recently. But, you know, it's another option to come off the bench. But I'd have, yeah, Ramirez up there to give Arsenal something else to think about because if we go into that same way we played against them, then they'll know. That's what they'll be doing their homework on.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I think we're going to go the other way and take Cameron out and put James there and Ramirez up front. Yeah. But just to go the privilege of sitting so close to Emma Hayes at Stamford Bridge, what I saw on that game against Arsenal was the way that Cameron was used in a defensive situation where she tucked it inside, and I think we lose that if Lauren's there, which is why I think we're going to pick the same team. But, you know, it does give us that extra attack going forward with Ramirez there and the headache she's in the course. So I can see why that would be your pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'd counter it a little bit because I think Lauren has developed massively over the last 12 to 18 months in her kind of defensive work rate. I mean, we go back to the Barcelona game where arguably Lauren didn't start, and the reason was because Emma wanted someone that would get back all the time. But I think Lauren has recently this year has done the dirty work behind, maybe not as well as Cameron, of course, but I think she does do the dirty work quite well and coming back and going forward. So I think it's not as big of a problem as potentially we've seen in previous years. So, but yeah, I mean, if it's Cameron, it's fine. I just think how well Myra's playing, and I do like to have a proper striker is not the is a bit of, it sounds harsh, but I'd like an actual number nine up there. I think it's just better to bounce off.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's not a bad team I think you can pick out of this squad. It will take some doing, including putting a lot of players in wrong positions. So whether it's Ramirez, whether it's James, you know, either way, nothing's stopping us winning all four trophies this year anyway. So there we go. Should we do a prediction then? Seeing as Dane's not mentioned one, he can wait till the end. Jane, what are you going for?
Oh, you shouldn't have picked me first. 4-1.
4-1, like it. Rich?
2-1 after extra time.
That's not nice.
No. Fight for the trains on the way back.
Yeah, better than penalties. Matt?
Well, I was going to go for 2-1 after extra time, but I guess I'll go 3-1 after extra time.
Bit more enjoyable, but still not great. I'm going to take 2-1 in normal time, so that is a different result. Even if it's a late win, I'll take that. Dan?
2-0.
2-0. There we go. Full clean sweep of Conti Cup trophies for Chelsea, according to our predictions. You can let us know what you think on social media. We're at Mokins Meadow and at Went to Mokins Meadow on Instagram. Johnny Superfan thinks 3-0 to Chelsea in normal time, which would be very nice. What time is kickoff? Should have looked that up, really.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. So, yeah, we'll know the lineup by 2 o'clock, and we'll know by 4:30 if the predictions are right or not. Or 5 o'clock, I suppose, if it goes to extra time, given that Buffalo were 3-1 to Chelsea as well. Yeah, we just can't lose, can we? Sadly, that is all we're going to have time for this week. We will be back on Tuesday to review the Conti Cup final, which will be fun. I don't know who that's with because I haven't got time. So I'm going to look, but I will tell you once I find that out. David gone with 2-0 as well, just to get another result in there. It's copying Dane, so that's definitely not going to happen.
Nice one, David.
Yeah, Dane, good to see you, mate.
Yeah, you two have enjoyed it today. I said it started off with you eating humble pie, so it was always going to be good from there on in.
Well, it's not often I'm wrong, so that's why it's such a big deal. you know, and I hold my hands up to it. It doesn't happen often, but there you go. Jane, thanks for joining us. Thanks for remembering.
Yep, I'll try and remember properly next time. Yeah, but it was good to be on.
Well, you said you were free next one as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just lost track of time and days and don't know what day of the week it is, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it's on Tuesday the 2nd of April.
Might be busy that day now. No, I am actually free Tuesday, so I'm around.
Good. Yeah, Rich, double duty for you this week, but thanks for giving up your time. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, no problem. And looking forward to the final on Sunday, where I will be bringing a pair of football socks and I'll be waving them around like a scarf. Bit of lovely bit of taunting, and I encourage anyone else who's got some football socks, any, to do the same in the Chelsea end, because I think that'd be very funny.
Yeah, good point actually. Make sure you've got your socks to wave around. They might even bring their socks for us because they're obviously not using them
Yeah.
again. Yeah. Matt, good to see you as well. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, good to be on with you, Dane, Jane. I think first time with Richard. So it's good to be on.
Yeah, same with you, pal.
Yeah, always. We're trying to mix the guests up as much as possible, where it can be done. Like I said, we'll be back next Tuesday. We'll be joined by Sophie Spittle and Simon Kingman to review the Conti Cup final, which should be good fun if we win, of course. Not so much if we lose, but there you go. Now you can follow us all on social media. I'm at D Mears, Dane's at DWIT9, Jane is at Jane Chapel X, Rich is at Bates in the Place, and Matt is at Matt J Ball 98. The show, of course, at Mo Kings Meadow, and went to Mo Kings Meadow on Instagram. Now, if you do enjoy what we do and you want to help support the show, please consider signing up to become a Went to Mo Kings Meadow Patreon. For just £5 a month, you help support the show, do things like Mixlr, the Zoom meetings, the editing software, and all that jazz that goes into making it. And any extra goes, of course, towards Future Ballers, which is our boot sponsorship campaign in the summer. So the more people that help support the show, the more football boots we can buy, which is always good for the young girls that get to receive them. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening. And until next time, from Kings Meadow to Molineux, I suppose. Keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.